Today for our Friday Forum webinar, we welcome UVA alumnus Danny Rubin. Danny graduated from UVA in 2006 with a degree in history. He is an author and speaker trusted by students and young professionals for his practical advice on writing, networking, and interpersonal skills. Danny has also provided audience strategies to NBC's Meet the Press, MSNBC, and USA Today. Please join me in welcoming Danny Rubin with How to Write Emails and Job Apps Like a Total Pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining the webinar and stopping by. I'm excited to talk about writing skills and networking skills and not talk about the fact that UVA is not in the Final Four. We're not going to talk about that. I'm not upset about that. I've gotten over that. I'm sure you all have too. And today we're going to focus on our careers and professional development. And I hope that you take away some practical skills and practical steps to write better and put your message across to employers and other business professionals in a smarter, sharper way. As I said, this webinar is called How to Write Emails and Job Apps Like a Total Pro, and we're going to work on three very specific writing scenarios today. I graduated from UVA 10 years ago this spring. Wow, time flies. I'm in Virginia Beach, and I work in public relations full-time, and my efforts with my writing and the skills I'm going to show you today have become somewhat of a side project, but they are definitely part and parcel of what I do throughout my career. So, just to give you a quick background on me, alongside my work in public relations, I've maintained a blog for the past 4 years now called News to Live By. And on News to Live By, I look for the career advice hidden in the headlines. So what is the news telling us, the practical career and professional development skills, the writing skills, the public speaking, networking, where's the lesson inside the headlines, not left or right, not picking a side or being opinionated. I just think the news is full of life lessons, and I draw them out, and I write once a week on my blog. So if you're so inclined, you can check that site out afterwards, newstolivebuy.net. There's all kinds of information on writing and networking and public speaking and job interviews, and it all relates back to something that happened in the real world. In today's webinar, we're going to talk about three different topics. The first is a new approach to the cover letter that I'm real big on, and I hope that by the end of that section you'll believe me and you'll understand that what I'm trying to get you to do. We're going to learn how to tell a storytelling cover letter. It's going to break the mold of a cover letter that you're used to writing or always seen, and we're going to do it a different way that helps you stand out through your experiences and through your ability. Then we're going to work on an authentic email for networking, how to reach out to people, particularly people we don't know, in a way that's very genuine and warm and authentic, as I say, so that they're encouraged to write you back and want to work with you or help you in any way. And lastly, we're going to talk about how to ask an employer about job opportunities, especially if there isn't even a job posted at the company where you want to work, but you'd love to work there. How do you make that company aware of you in sort of a cold call, cold email situation? What's the approach to get them to say, this person seems very interesting, I want to write back and set up a conversation? It's a tricky one, but it's actually become the most popular blog post on my site, how to write that particular conversation, because we all want to work at this or that place, and they may not always have the job we want waiting there, but we want to get our foot in the door. How do we do that? So we're going to go through these three different scenarios step by step, and I'm going to show you how to write each one. Now, before we get into the storytelling cover letter, I should tell you that all three of these templates are coming out of a book that I recently published called Wait, How Do I Write This Email?, which is 100 templates for networking, the job search, and LinkedIn. And so each of these, you'll see the page numbers referenced. They're all coming directly out of the book, word for word. So when we talk about an effective cover letter, from my perspective, because I'm coming out of the world of journalism. I'm a former TV news reporter, and I worked as a media consultant, as she said, with NBC and USA Today. So I'm all about storytelling to drive us ahead, to hook the reader, make it memorable, and keep people thinking about us. So the two main components of an effective cover letter: to begin with a memorable story to catch the reader's attention and demonstrate ability, and then we relate how the skills and experiences from our story can help the company with its own challenges. So we're telling a great story, and we're telling why that story is going to be evidence why you can make that company even better. You can bring skills and assets to the table because the story proves it. I'm all about saying, prove it to me. Give me the proof. Show me the example. Tell me the story. Don't just be vague and tell me you're a hard worker or that you're dedicated or motivated. Give me the example that proves it. And I know, being UVA students or UVA grads, you have that experience. You can wow people all day long. You just have to think of yourself as a storyteller first. Okay? And this is sort of my mantra when it comes to storytelling as it relates to the job market and careers. Learn to tell your own story and doors will open. I believe that. I've seen it work. I have helped people with this strategy, and it's opened up the eyes of employers who previously would have passed them by, and then they say, this is interesting. I like how the person sold himself or sold herself and explained why the person is as valuable as she or he claims to be. So for the purposes of this example, we're going to choose an entry-level program associate at a nonprofit organization. That's the job. A typical job for a recent grad. Now, maybe you've been in the workforce, or maybe you have a child who isn't a student or about to graduate, but this, to me, I try to pick a universal job here that so many of us go after as we leave school. And the duties for this job, hypothetically, include research, event planning, and assisting senior managers. Okay, that's the job. That's the context. And here is the intro to that cover letter. It's not going to look like a cover letter you've ever seen. But that's okay. I'm not being weird and wacky just to be weird and wacky. There's a strategy here. There's a method to the madness. So just follow me here and understand what we're doing. Okay, we begin with dear Mr. or Ms. or dear hiring professional if you can't find the right person. Instead of that opening line you've always seen before, which is my name is blank and I think I'd be a great fit for the position of blank, which is how every cover letter ever starts, we're starting with a story. We're throwing the reader right into a story. And we're just skipping that formula, that rigid, predictable intro. I looked up at the sky and couldn't believe it. Storm clouds. For months, my team and I had prepared for the annual big nonprofit association charity bash, in which students throw a party for 24 hours straight and raise money for children's hospitals. We had the campus quad reserved and the event ready to go. Then out of nowhere, a huge thunderstorm threatened to ruin everything. As team leader, I organized our group to take the dance party inside the gymnasium, notified all participants about the location change, and worked with an audiovisual tech to ensure the music played indoors. Within 3 hours, we had the big nonprofit association party back on track and in the end collected $11,000 for charity, the most we had ever raised. Now, I told you, this is not a cover letter that you've seen before, but it is interesting. And when an employer is sifting through 100, 200 of these, and the employer may already believe that cover letters are annoying and useless and don't add value to the process anymore, and then that employer comes across yours, automatically you become more interesting. And all the other ones they read that are basically, hi, my name is, and then they rehash their resume, yours is the most interesting one. But beyond that, it demonstrates your ability in a way that you never have to say to them, a hard worker, you know, believe me that I can work under stressful conditions, believe me I'm a team player. The story sells it. It does all of the explanation for you, and it's really interesting and visual and colorful. Note that this intro to the cover letter, and in the end you'll see it's still only 3/4 of a page total, this story has a beginning, middle, and end. I'm showing at the start the challenge, then the process in which you work through the challenge, and then the solution, the end result, the most successful we ever had, $11,000 for charity, leaning hard on details and numbers, which is another thing I'm really big on, is using statistics and numbers and data whenever you can to back up your claims. So in this intro paragraph or two paragraphs, we have a complete story that demonstrates success. Okay, now we're going to take that story and we're going to explain why the heck you just told it and then make it relevant, even further relevant, to the employer. Okay, my name is Jennifer Sutherland and I want to be your next program associate. I know it can be challenging to organize, plan, and execute big events, and I am ready to work hard for the name of the organization. Issues and setbacks can appear without warning, and it takes determination to work through them. So before I get to the next paragraph, that's this next section is where you make it clear. I told you this story to demonstrate I'm great at X, Y, or Z. Okay? And I showed you at the beginning that one of the job duties they asked for was event planning. So she has shown right away that she totally understands how to plan an event and how to make things happen on the fly when stuff breaks down, as it so often does in the real world. It's never perfect. It never goes according to plan. There's always changes. She has shown, even at the college level, that she knows how to react and adapt. And that's what employers need to know. They need to know those soft skills. We all hear that a lot, soft skills. What does that mean? It means she knows how to make stuff happen when it seems like it's all falling apart. That's a tremendous skill, and the employer now knows she has it because she proved it. And that second paragraph, another critical part of a cover letter that so many people forget to include, research on the company to make your cover letter even more authentic and customized and special to that one company, to that employer. So they can't say you sent the same letter to 50 different places. You made it special just for them. Beyond that, it shows you validate the work they do. Here's what it says. As I researched your organization, I learned a great deal about the inspiring work you do with the Little Nonprofit Association and its annual fundraising walk that supports cancer research. I also read about challenges in the nonprofit sector. For people to donate today, it's essential to reach them in meaningful ways, particularly online. I have experience building community and generating buzz on social networks. I'm going to do my best to bring fresh thinking to the table. So, notice what I've done here. I didn't just say, I think your group does great work. I didn't just say, I checked out your website. I gave a specific example from the website to prove that I really went to the website and read up. That goes, it takes just a few extra more minutes of research and reading, but it goes such a long way to the employer. If anybody's listening who's an employer, I know you know that when someone comes to you for a job interview or writes you an email about networking or an open job at the company, it means so much when they really shown they've studied up on your company. They've thought about it a lot. They've internalized it. They can spit back facts to you about the work you do. It just shows that they really respect the work you do and they validate you, and they're not just coming around with their hand out saying, I have a college degree from UVA. Isn't it about time you hired me? It's thinking about the other person. And this is the next sort of next level, next strategy of a cover letter that shows you're thinking differently than the competition. Okay? And then also showing that you have some sense and some context about the larger industry. You understand, and by reading up and understanding the industry and where it sits and the challenges, the opportunities, you give a little bit of sense that, like, I'm coming in thinking about, if I was in your building working right now, I understand the big picture, or I'm trying my best to understand the big picture, so you can count on me to have a great perspective on the work that I would do and that you do right now. Now, we're going to wrap it up. I told you it's not a long cover letter. It's just strategic in what we're saying. Now, we're going to toss in a few more soft skills just to round us out and explain, touching on what you know they're looking for in the job description. If you notice that in so many job descriptions, at the very bottom, companies often just list out a bullet point of all these different soft skills. Independent worker, can work as a team, dedicated, creative, driven. They always put those things. So you want to, you've already proven it with your story. You're going to round it out a little bit with one more, with a few more lines. Above all, I'm excited to take my hands-on skills in social media and event planning and put them to use for your organization. I enjoy being part of a group. I know how to multitask and always finish what I start. I also try to be curious and would want to learn as much as I can from your team. Okay, before I get to that very last part, I want to make one point about that line. Especially for recent graduates, it's so important that you don't act like you know everything. Because one is, you don't. Nobody knows everything, and especially at 22, you're very smart, but you still have a lot to learn about the particular job or the industry or how the world works. There's a lot to learn. So it's okay to say, I want to learn as much as I can. On the flip side, employers like that often because they like to mentor, and they want to sculpt and mold people and teach them everything they know. And when you say to somebody, I'm willing to come here and I'm going to work hard, but I want you to teach me what you've learned in your career, that's refreshing. It's not a weakness to say you want to learn. I think it's a plus because it shows you're open and you're not going to be a know-it-all around the office, which so many older employers think millennials are. So again, you can flip a stereotype on its head with a line like that. Now, the very, very end of the cover letter, we're going to close it by referencing the story from the beginning. It's a technique in journalism to begin and end a column or a story with the same theme or the same topic. It gives it closure. Like, it's called like bookending it. Okay, so we're just going to reference the story again. The big nonprofit association party taught me the importance of quick decisions and staying focused in a hectic situation. I am ready to bring the same work ethic and energy to your organization. Thanks for the opportunity, and I hope to hear from you soon. And your first name and your email signature. So to me, that is an effective cover letter. There's no guarantees in life. They still might not call you. There may be 1,000 people applying and who knows what. But all you're doing is making yourself stand out in a way that's very strategic. You never have to tell them that you're this great person and you're a superstar rock star. The story does it for you. And it's better that way because then they'll believe you. And also, you work so hard in college or at a volunteer opportunity or at an internship, part-time job. You've worked so hard and been through so many trials. You have to share these stories. You have to tell people what you've accomplished or they'll never know. And all they'll think is you're just one more person coming along claiming to be great. But you really are great, and your stories prove it. So I hope you take this idea to heart, and the next time you're applying, you think about, ask yourself this question. What is, at an internship or a part-time job, full-time job, volunteer, college club, anything, ask yourself, what was a very difficult period, a challenge that I faced either on a day or over time, a big project, something where there was stress and drama and uncertainty, and I made it happen anyway. That story can help you and angle you at any job you want. You just have to think of yourself through that story and let it direct you and guide you and help grab people's attention in this attention deficit world we live in, plus the fact that people expect you to do what they've always seen. This is a way to stand out. Now, if there are any questions about this strategy, you can write it in the chat, and I'm happy to stop and answer. If not, I'll move on to my approach at an effective networking email, and you're going to see a lot of the same themes going into the networking email, too. What I'm hoping you learn through this exercise is how to use our words to build relationships, build trust, and develop authenticity. And make it so they say, this person is special. I have to talk to him. I have to talk to her. If I don't, I'd be making a mistake. And our words can do that. They really can. It's just how we think about the words we put into our emails and our applications. Now, here's a template from my book on page 65, how to ask someone from a networking event about a job. Okay, so you're at some kind of happy hour, some sort of networking event. You want to follow back the next day or the same day or the next day. I never want to go further than 24 hours to kind of keep the momentum going. You want to follow up, and what does that email say? How do you build on what you started, continue to develop trust with the person, and build that relationship first? The job may or may not come, but you want that relationship. You want to add this person to your network. Someone who trusts you and you trust them, and you can lean on each other because you never know how people come back around on each other out in the crazy real world. So, in the book, I'm very careful. In every one of these scenarios, I try to lay it out as I would write it. I give you the subject line, the body of the email, where you need to fill in your own information. I don't want to leave you hanging and say, what would he have done there? I'm trying to be very tactical and just the blueprint, okay? So let's say you were at an event called Rising Leaders Happy Hour. Made it up, but that probably exists somewhere. So you want to, in the subject line, you want to not just put follow-up or great to meet you. You want to put the name as well of the event. The more specific language you use in your emails and in your applications, the stronger your message. People just latch on to detail and specifics more. They just see it faster, it grabs their eye, and it'll help the email first just get opened faster. Okay, and it'll allow them to trust you. Maybe they get lots of follow-up emails, but yours actually says where you met the person. Okay, then it was great to meet you earlier today, yesterday, at the name of the networking event. And here's a key, and I know we all know the phrase small talk, but this is another soft skill, a relationship-building skill. Okay, we want to reference the conversation we had, and if possible, reference something the other person talked about and why you found it notable. Now, it may seem random or I'm writing about a job, why am I talking about? You want to show that, first of all, you're not just concerned about yourself. You really found what the person said interesting, so much so that you remembered it and are going to recount it and put it back in an email the next time you communicate. It just, again, shows validation of the other person. And it puts them a little more at ease that you're not coming around right away with a demand or a favor. It's just you're kind of easing your way in and you're showing how much you appreciate the initial conversation and the start of that relationship. So, and here I put as a, you know, made up scenario, I enjoyed our conversation about the Portland music scene. So cool you also like 90s punk rock. Again, that's made up. It did not happen in the real life, but it could have. Whatever you talk about, it could be anything. Just reference it back. Again, it's the details of our emails that make the difference and that help to solidify us and make us stand out. Now, again, just like in the cover letter, you have to do research on the person, the person's company. Even if it's not necessarily about the company where you want to work, you need to again show you've taken interest in somebody else before they take an interest in you. I can't stress that point enough. Out in the business world, you have to take interest in other people before they want to take an interest in you. That's just how it goes. After I left, I did more research on either the person's company or the company they can connect you to. I am interested in the name of company, and especially like a project. And again, here I go with the details, right? Referencing a specific project about the company, in this case, the company where you'd like to work. I'm linking to it, and I'm being specific. The fun recycling program with the hashtag GoGreenPortland. I see a question about the cover letter. I'll get to that in just one second. Thank you for writing. I want to make the point about this page. I'm being very specific about the project on the company website that I found interesting. I'm linking to it, and I'm explaining why I like it. That's the kind of creative digital campaign I want to work on. It was a fun recycling program. I'm giving detail. I'm trying to explain. I really went through the website. I really like it. I'm linking to it. I was processing it, thinking about it, spending time with it. Now, think about it this way. What if this person who you met at the happy hour knows the contact at the, you know, Portland Recycling Organization, whatever it is, and they just forward your email along and the top of it say, hey, this is an interesting person. What do you think? That person is going to see your email just the same as the first person did, and you've been so specific about the project that the other person who works for this recycling organization is going to find you impressive too because you were so specific about the project. Maybe they actually shared that project or led it or organized it or thought of it. And then there you go, basically congratulating this person, commending this person, and you haven't even met that person yet. You're already scoring points, and you haven't even spoken with that company. So that's why I say the details are so critical. This email could travel. Once you send it, it's out of your control. You have to make sure you're including everything necessary in it so it'll help sell for you and speak on your behalf wherever it goes. And before I get to the next section of this template, somebody asked, What concerns me the most about the cover letter is the possibility of coming off as unprofessional. I have definitely seen it happen on some search committees. Any tips on how to avoid that? Well, I hope that the cover letter that I just showed you came across as professional. It's, you're telling a story, obviously proper grammar and proper, you know, style, and you want to come across as someone who can command the English language and look like you know what you're doing. But if you tell a great story, I believe it's very professional. It's totally appropriate, as long as the story itself is not inappropriate or, you know, lewd or anything to that degree. As long as the story is, you know, focused on the job and focused on you getting results and overcoming challenges, very appropriate. When you explain how you research the company and respect their work, very appropriate. When you explain how you have the soft skills that they are referencing in the job description, very appropriate. I don't believe there's a part of that that would put you in a poor light. I hope that as you read it and process it, it comes across as very professional, very on the level, and nothing would stand out as, I wouldn't have gone that direction. So if you stay in those boundaries, I think you're going to be okay. I hope that answered your question. If not, you can reach out to me afterwards and we can talk further. So moving on with this networking email guide. I'm sorry, yeah, the email template. Now we spoke about them and why we respect them. Now we're going to give a little bit about ourselves. Again, so that you give the person a little bit of ammunition in case they need to write a new introduction for you or they're going to forward it along. In this case, I said I am a recent graduate from Big State University with a degree in marketing. I also completed an internship with Acme Corporation in which I worked on a social media campaign for Acme in Central America. If you have a link to that, link to it. If you had a particular success on it, share the success. We increase engagement on Snapchat by 400%, whatever it is. If you have a number, use it. But give a little bit of flavor, not a ton of information, just enough to show that you're serious, you have experience, whether it's an internship or a real job or somewhere in between. But you want to give a little bit of flavor, just give something, some substance, so it helps to build you out and explain your story. And then, very politely, please let me know if you're able to pass my resume to the right person. I've attached it to this email. Or if you want to give me an email address of a contact, I can handle the introduction myself. Now, obviously, it would be great if the person would send an email for you to this person, copy you both, and say, you got to meet so-and-so. But maybe they won't. Maybe the person's busy. You just met them. Maybe they say, oh, that's even better. You know what? You can, here's their email. Write them and say that you and I spoke. It's always better if they can do the intro, but if they can't, people are busy. They're going to drop the ball. You have to stay in control of your own career. And you can write that email, and now you have a reference that connects you. And then, as I have another template in the book, where if you're writing somebody and you have someone in common, you put that reference person in your subject line so that that person right away knows, oh, we know someone in common. I trust this person. I'm going to open that email. I'm going to you know, think harder about this person than I may otherwise would have done because we know somebody in common. So, again, I'm all about the details, and when you have someone in common, put them in the subject line. I have another question here. Is it better to include a professional bio or your resume? I have heard that a bio is better for an introduction, but would love to hear your advice on this. Is a professional bio or resume better? Well, first, it just depends on the instruction. If they say resume cover letter, then I think you know what you have to do. You have to include a resume because they're going to say he or she couldn't follow directions. This is a non-starter. But here's what I would say to that. And I break this down. It's on my blog, and it's in the book. I show you how to write an effective LinkedIn profile summary, that opening paragraph on your LinkedIn profile page, how you explain yourself. And I show you how to do it in about a 30-second read, a very tight paragraph that explains the work that you do or hope to do if you're about to graduate, details about the work, giving some specifics about your role, and then why the work you do, why you're passionate about that work, and why it makes other people better. So here's my answer to your question. I would give the resume and cover letter like you typically do, but yours is going to be really awesome and better than the rest, so don't worry about that, because you're going to fine-tune it, and it's going to be strong. But what they're also going to do, most likely, the employer is going to check your LinkedIn page. They're going to at least look you up your name. LinkedIn is going to probably be the first site that comes up because it's the largest website that would contain your name. So they're going to go to your LinkedIn page, and that's where you're going to have a really well-written LinkedIn profile summary waiting, which is going to lay out the work you do or hope to do, details on the work, and why you're passionate about that type of work. So they're going to check out all three. And in giving them the resume in the application, they're going to find your professional bio anyway. And hopefully, when they do, it's a really strong paragraph that makes you even more authentic and easier to understand and more interesting. So on three different counts, cover letter strong, resume strong, bio is strong, they're like, okay, it's time to bring this person in. So that would be my approach for, you know, deciding what to include. I would just make a killer bio intro paragraph on yourself on LinkedIn and just accept the fact and assume that the company's going to check it out. Now, moving on to the job search template, okay? How to apply even if the company has no openings at the time. This is page 114 in the book, okay? Now, again, I said this is a tricky conversation because we want to work somewhere, we're about to graduate, or even if we're out of in the work world and want to change jobs, we do not see a position on the website that fits us, but this company will be perfect for you. You know it. It's the dream company, and you just want to let them know that you exist. You're out there. You have the right skills. You're the right fit for their team. To think of you for new positions, maybe they make a position for you, who knows, but you want them to know that you're out there on the scene, and here's how you make that strong intro. And let me just tell you, and you can read this intro as I'm talking, but I work in public relations, okay? I get a lot of inquiry from recent graduates who from schools mostly around Virginia, and they all basically have the same pitch. It's, hi, my name is blank. I'm about to graduate from blank school with a degree in public relations or marketing or advertising. Is your company hiring? Please let me know. And that's their pitch. And to me, I sit back and I say, wow, I don't know you. You could be the greatest PR associate ever made, but you told me nothing about you. I know nothing about courses that you've taken or projects you've accomplished, websites you've created or campaigns you've worked on, where you've interned, nothing. And you've shown you've done no research on my firm. You've not looked us up, no recent projects. You've shown me that you really have no interest in what I do, which makes me think you sent the same email to 50 different places, and it looks very generic, kind of like spam, and I don't have any real interest in writing you back or wanting to get on the phone or bring you in. It's like, it's my time. So you have to make me respect you, and you have to make yourself look like no one else. You have to stand out, and our words will do that. So here's the subject line. Recent graduate from, or a fundraising specialist, whatever, if you're working and you have a title and you kind of know who you are in your career, interested in career opportunities. Okay, my name is first and last name, and I am a recent grad from, or your job title and expertise, a fundraising specialist who has experience with small to medium-sized nonprofits. I hope you're doing well. So put yourself in context. And again, I try to be very clear throughout the book and on my blog. Always be upfront about what you want. So in the subject line, we're very clear right away. Interested in career opportunities. I'm not hiding it. I'm not burying it. I'm not making the employer look around and say, what does this person want? Do they want an intern? Do they want a job shadow? Do they want a job? What is going on? I'm putting it right there. People respect that. They're busy. Okay? And again, I'm being very clear high up in the email about what I'm after. I realize you don't have a job posting for a development associate, but I would still like to make introductions and explore ways I can help your team on upcoming engagements with nonprofits. Again, thinking about it from the company's perspective. This person's coming around saying, I can add value to your team. It's not about adding value to me. You will gain value, but you're out there trying to add value to someone else's team. You know, if any employers are listening or HR people can't stand when a particularly a young person or anybody says, oh, this job would be a great stepping stone in my career. Because then the employer thinks, well, are you trying to work for me for 6 months a year and then jump somewhere, or are you going to be invested here? So you always want to think about it of how am I making someone else better? You will grow. You will succeed. And if you help that company find success, you'll get promoted. You'll get the raises. You'll do all that. But always couch it in helping them thrive. Now, and here we go again. I'm a broken record with this, but it comes down to research. This is where I think so many pitches from recent grads to my firm fall flat. Like, the biggest thing I wish they would do is it show me that they researched our firm, which is called Rubin Communications Group. Rubin, go to our website, look up our projects. We have so much stuff there. We have a blog. We have recent successes. We have so many things you can look at. I don't even care what you choose to reference in your email. You have to pick something, one or two things, particularly two, I think, is a good amount. And you have to link to them, and you have to show me why you liked them. Again, this will not take you but 5 to 10 minutes. We're not doing a thesis here. We're not doing an exhaustive research project. You've already done that. You're about to graduate, or you did graduate. You've done that. It's a pain. This is very minor research that goes a really long way, because you have to validate the company, especially because you might want to work there. You have to say you like what they do. Otherwise, why are you coming around? So here I say the 10K walks to support research on brain cancer and the capital campaign to aid the river cleanup. I'm just making these things up, but they could have been on a company website. The two, and notice how I'm being very specific. I didn't just link to the website and say you've done a lot of great work, and I linked great work. That's not good enough either. You have to tell me the exact projects that we did and why you liked them. And then the two projects were well orchestrated, and it's clear your team knows how to deliver results. So I'm giving a why too. I'm going even a step further than that. Now look how long this sentence is, or these two sentences. Very short. I'm not writing a book on this company. It's two sentences that go so far, because it says everything about who you are as a job candidate. You're thinking about more than yourself. You have self-awareness, another great soft skill. You can research. You can put it in context. You understand the power of linking the things, using detailed 10K walk, river cleanup. You understand so much. Just in those two sentences, it would tell me so much about you and who you are. I think that's so important to let this type of strategy will speak volumes about who you are and your character and how you approach people and business and just the world in general. Okay? Now, let's say in this case, you know, the person has a job. For the past blank years, I've worked with nonprofits in Minneapolis on a variety of initiatives. For example, I fundraised for the big nonprofit association, the little nonprofit association. If you're coming out of school, talk about clubs you were a part of that are relevant to the job, positions you held, projects you put on, successes, money raised, issues, whatever you accomplished, explain it there. You don't have to necessarily have real meaty, business experience out in the quote-unquote real world. You can reference what you did in school or at internships. Just lean on the details and look for the successes and prove to me why you were successful. And here's the other huge part of this outreach type of email. We researched the company, did a great job there. Now we have to explain ourselves in greater detail, linking to specific examples of what we have accomplished. Okay? This is why I'm a huge proponent of having a blog or online portfolio, because you need a place on the internet to store your stuff and share what you've accomplished in a really clean, easy, uncomplicated way. So if you have a blog or a website where you want to be in graphic design or whatever it is, and you have examples of your work, you link people to your examples. One, it shows that you understand the power of showing people the proof. Two, if you come to me, like if you want to work in communications, for instance, really any industry, but especially communications, if you already have a blog or a portfolio or some place on the internet where you're sharing your stuff and your story, that again speaks volumes about who you are, because it shows you totally get branding and personal marketing and how to, you know, tell your story and stand out, and it's everything. And it shows how hard you're willing to work to create those things. Because I know how hard it is to start a blog and keep it going and keep maintaining it, not let it die, and all those things will keep telling me who you are. See, it's all about the proof, the real. That's how I can tell who you are. The rest of it is just, you're just basically hoping I believe you by saying you're dedicated and creative and all that. You're just hoping that I believe you, because I have no reason otherwise. So we're going to link, I think, three examples is enough if you have that many. But always think about the proof. Am I proving I researched the company? Am I proving who I am? Am I proving how talented I really am? Am I showing people the proof? If not, I need to include the proof. Otherwise, it's not worth anything. And then we wrap it up. I've attached my resume to this email. Please let me know if I can provide more information. Thanks so much. Your name, first name, and email signature. And I say here, the template makes you look authentic, poised, and mature. And that's all you can ask of yourself. There's too many unknowns in the world. You can have the most dynamite application. You know you're right for the job. You're in the final rounds of interviews, and then they hire the boss's niece. Sometimes that's how it goes. You can't control things. But what you can control is how you communicate about yourself. And make sure that whenever you send out that application or that email or you go into that job interview, that when you're done, they don't forget you. They can't forget you, because you explained yourself better than everybody else. First of all, you got UVA on your transcript or your resume, so major edge there. But what if you're applying to a really competitive company that there's tons of great kids from great schools? So many. And the UVA thing, while impressive, starts to, you need more. You got to go one better than that. And the way you do it is by researching, showing the proof, telling stories. Okay, are there any questions on this template? I have a couple more things to say, and then happy to go back and touch on anything I spoke about. If you've liked this PowerPoint presentation, you can email me at that email right there, and I will send it to you. I think that's and I'd love to hear from you and what you're up to, where you are in your career or in school, what you hope to accomplish. I will write you back, and I want to know, and I love to know what UVA students and grads are up to, and we're all part of the same community, and we all want to help each other. So feel free to reach out and ask for the PowerPoint. And if you'd like, on my website I have, that's the book, that's the front cover, and I have more templates you can download for free. Actually, one of them was one we just covered today, but how to inquire about freelance opportunities, what the email should look like there, how to network with alumni, how to apply even if the company has no openings. We just discussed that, but it's in there. How to write a strong LinkedIn profile summary. Actually, we discussed it in a few minutes ago, and I show you how to do that. And step by step with, again, examples. I never leave you hanging. I always include what it could look like. A sample, and then how to write an impressive resume objective statement. But let me just say this about the objective statement, and I say it in the book. I don't think, as a recent grad, you should have an objective statement, because you don't know yourself well enough yet as a working professional to have a sentence or two that explains sort of your mission and purpose. I think you should begin your resume with your skills, leaning hard on specific skills, not saying leadership skills or time management or those. I need to know, as an employer, like software you know how to use, certifications, tools, software, real things. I need to know what you've been trained on, so I know how much training to give you once you're here. So start with your skills. If you've been in the workforce and you're starting to understand yourself as a working professional, I do think the objective statement is appropriate then. But right out of the gate, I don't think so. And lastly, for educators, on my website very soon, I've created lesson plans that accompany the book, touching on each one references a certain template for networking or the job search or LinkedIn and how to weave those lessons into the classroom. So if you're interested in learning more about the lessons, you can email me again and I will make sure you know when they are available. Should be later this spring or early summer. And or I also just like to hear your takeaways on this presentation and where, you know, how you helped your own students learn these types of skills, these soft skills, writing, workplace readiness skills. They're tough to teach, they're nuanced, but they're so critical. And especially at a young age, how we write can make such a huge difference in the job market, heads and shoulders above the competition, if we know how to talk about ourselves and talk about others in a much more polished way. So with that, I know we're a few minutes early, but nobody minds getting out a little early, right? Unless there's any further questions, you can write them in the chat and I'll answer. It can be about anything, interview prep, the job search, networking. Let me just say, while I have your attention, and along the lines of researching the company, when you go into a job interview and the boss says, do you have questions for me? You always, you got to have something. You never want to say no or I think you answered it all. That's, you know, like a dead end, a non-starter. But think about, again, doing what no one else is going to do, or rarely what people will do. People are going to ask questions about company culture, which is fair, but it's a typical question. They're going to ask about benefits or vacation. I want to talk salary. There'll be time for all of that. But what you want to do in that job interview is you want to have researched the person you're going to be talking to, obviously done research on the company, research on the industry at large, and you want to come in and you want to just ask questions about the person early on in their career. How did they go from point A to point B? You want to ask about recent projects. What was it like to accomplish that? How hard was it? What were the challenges? What did you learn? You want to talk about the industry. You know, I read an article about such and such. How does that impact your firm? You want to be coming in with questions no one else is going to have that are much more introspective and showing that you're thinking critically about this company and what it would be like to work there. You're interested in other people. You're inquisitive. You're curious. You're not just coming around looking about thinking about your salary, not just yet. You want to build that trust and build that relationship and make them again think, I just talked to 10 people today that all they all wanted to talk about was their salary. And this guy was coming in and he was asking me about early in my career. He was asking about our company projects. He was so much different and just coming at a different perspective than the rest of them. I really like that person. I want to bring them around to the whole team and let them see what they think. That's a way to translate that idea of doing research into the job interview. And I have it in the book. I have 4 questions everyone should ask in a job interview, and I give examples of each of those. How to ask about the person's career, ask about the company, ask about the industry, and even ask about maybe an idea you have that you could institute or implement right away for that company. You're already thinking about, if I was in this position, here's something I could do, or here's a way I could immediately add value. You may not have a chance to ask all 4, but that's just a different approach that's just going to make you special, make you like, who is that? I didn't expect that. And everything I'm trying to teach is going to make someone say, I didn't expect him or her to do that, and I really liked it. And it's not more work, it's just a different approach. So with that, if there are no questions, or you can email me after, I'm happy to answer, but thank you very much for your time and your attention. I'm sure you're all going to do great things, or you already are, and I hope that our paths cross at UVA events. Maybe a Final Four one year. Feels like wishful thinking now, but maybe one year it'll happen, and the Hoos will go to the Final Four, and it'll be like a dreamlike state, like I thought we were going to have against Syracuse. Anyway, thank you, Liz.
Oh, thank you so much, Danny, and thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We do have a few questions that have come in. I wanted to take a brief moment, though, to thank you for sharing your expertise with us and to thank all of our audience members for being with us. And just wanted to mention to the audience that we will resume in 3 weeks on Friday, April 22nd. Chris Matthews is going to be presenting Resumes Revealed, The Real Reasons Why Recruiters Don't Call You Back and What to Do About It. So Danny, the first question that came in, actually a couple of people asked this, whether it's okay to address the hiring manager by their first name. That came in a couple of times.
Ah, great question. In my book, I have a chart where I tell you when it's appropriate to use their first name or Mr. or Ms. with last name. And in my opinion, it comes down to your age versus next to their age. If the age gap is wide enough and I have the different sort of levels and charts that explain it, then you want to do Mr. or Ms. with the last name. If you feel you're closer in age with the person, I believe it's appropriate to do first name. This is a very nuanced, very sort of tricky, soft skill, but I believe the person is close enough in age. You can find their headshot on their website or LinkedIn and get a gauge. This person's 5 years older than me or 35 years older than me. That's when you'll decide if it's Mr. or Ms. or their first name. I have a chart that spells that out.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
So I was already thinking on that wavelength, and I know people worry about
terrific.
That. That's why I
Thank
included
you. So someone asked if you can provide mm-hmm. some tips about the tone of cover letters and emails so that the content doesn't appear to be too rigid or unnatural.
Well, this is why I showed, let me go back to that slide. Where was it? Right here, at the bottom of this slide. This is why I believe so much in using a little bit of small talk to warm up the email. So you're not starting the email saying, hi, you met me at the happy hour. Thanks for connecting me to that job. Here's my resume. Let me know. Or something, you know, just like diving right into what you want. In referencing the conversation, validating the person, essentially complimenting that person, the tone is totally changed. People can let their guard down now because you're not coming with, you know, firing right away with a favor or a request. You're starting off by picking up where you left off as just this very natural conversation. So that, to me, is how you overcome that idea that, oh, I'm being too rigid with my tone. Reference what they had to say, show them you validate and respect what they had to say, then you have them where you want them, in the right frame of mind. Not in a way that's, you know, getting something around on them, but you have them in the right mindset.
Okay, thank you.
To help you.
And a couple of follow-ups on the prior question about using the first name. How would the advice differ, or would it, if you are older than the person you're talking to, or significantly older than they are?
Wow. I actually never had that question before. I always think of it, because in the book is really written in the context of someone who is early in their career and like sort of on the way up. So most people will be older. Just the question of how much. That's an interesting question. I don't know if I have the perfect answer. My gut tells me to use first name in most cases. But to be honest, I'm 32 and I feel in the early stages of my own career, and I just have not covered that as often or really ever. I don't know if I've even... I've always thought of it in the context of I'm young, on my way up, and how do I address older people? So that may be a question better suited for more senior worker.
Thanks. Yeah, that could be a situation where someone is preparing to embark on a career change as they're kind of coming up on the later stage of their career. Question is if you could provide some tips on returning to the workforce after an absence to care for children?
Ah, another great question. And that's also something I put in the book, how to explain a gap in our resume. And I lay out a template where you account for that. You explain it very clearly. There's a line within your job description history, your timeline, your experience, I should say, where you basically have a star and an asterisk, and you explain very flat, no-nonsense line, why there's a gap and what was going on during that time. I absolutely think you should address it. You don't want to raise questions that you can't answer while they're reviewing your application, because once you send it, that's it. They're not going to necessarily call you back to ask that question. You need to have every question answered within that application that they would have like that. So I show you how to include that gap statement.
Okay, thank you. And another question came in asking if you can share your perspective on differences between a CV and resume.
To be honest, I don't have much experience with CVs. I only have, in all the consulting and coaching I've done, it's always been resumes, and I don't have a good answer for you on the primary differences. It's not my area of expertise, it's not in the book, and I just have not spent a lot of time. So I wouldn't know what to tell you between like the main differences. Here's what I will tell you. No matter what it is, a CV or a resume, there may be like slight differences in formatting or information you include, but you always need to lean hard on the numbers, the statistics, the data around your successes, and use your job description bullet points to show how you overcame challenges and found successes. You know, you came into an office as an administrator, it was disheveled, there was no order, you found order, the office is now 22% more efficient with its billing or something like that. That's a great job description or experience bullet point, and that could exist in either a CV or a resume. Not just listing bullet points as you would find on a job application or job description. You need to give color and flavor and drama and interesting tidbits. And no matter what it is, that's CV or resume, that stuff must be included. So I can't tell you exactly the finite differences between a CV and resume. I don't honestly know, but I do know that if you lean hard on details in either case, it will stand out.
Thank you. And the person who asked that question is welcome to follow up with us as well. We'll have our contact info, I think, on the last screen when we finish. So the next question is whether your book contains LinkedIn summary advice for people who are further along in their career.
Well, these questions seem like pre-planned. Yes, it does. In fact, I have templates for a college student, a recent grad, and people who are unemployed, and for a working professional. So four different guides in different areas of our career. So whether you're how to write it when you're in school, when you're coming out of school, whether you're in a stable career, and if you're looking for work. I basically take I create a persona, a person, and I keep changing the profile summary based on where he is in his career. So as a college student, it's this. When he graduates, it's like this. Once he's in a stable job, it's like this. And if he lost his job, it changes to this.
Great. Thank you. So another question, if you're sending this mm-hmm. type of email as a cold outreach to an organization, how do you recommend tracking down the right contact if the staff is not listed on the website?
Great question. All these UVA, I shouldn't have doubted these UVA questions. So, well, there's so many different ways that you can try to find the person. You can certainly call the main line, ask a secretary, you know, I'm looking for the right email address for the person in charge of blank. You're not trying to get them on the phone necessarily. You're just trying to find them. And oftentimes a secretary will be happy to give you an email address of someone versus like putting you through to them on the phone or a phone number that's not an office line. So you can try that. You can, if you have any sort of contacts in or around the company, you can ask that person who is the right contact at that company, who should I be reaching out to? Maybe they'll give you some insight. If you simply can't find anyone, you can always do the contact form on a website, which oftentimes goes to multiple people. I wouldn't just assume it goes to like a spam folder or like a dark closet somewhere. The info at email address, obviously not the most ideal, but it could go to the right person. And if your pitch is strong enough, it could get forwarded around. But my two go-to moves are to first try my network and see if I can find somebody in that space who knows someone who knows someone who can give me that right name. Or I call up and I ask like a main person. Right now with my book, I mean, I'm trying to get the word out about it, and oftentimes I'll call organizations or schools, and I'm trying to find the right point of contact at the company who would be the most relevant person to know what I'm doing. And I'll ask the secretary, like, who do you recommend I talk to? They'll say, oh, I think so-and-so would be the right person. Here's their email address or, you know, here's their phone number. So don't be shy about calling up. And let me tell you one more thing. In the book, I also have phone etiquette instructions, which is such a huge part of the game, soft skills, real world stuff. How to introduce yourself on the phone. Here's a really quick tip. When you call up, you want to introduce yourself by name first and then ask your question. It sounds much more professional, appropriate, and it sounds like you know what you're doing and yet there's a reason for your call and they almost were expecting it. Hi, my name is blank. I'm calling about blank. Don't just ask first. Say your name first. It's a stronger approach on the phone and it'll go a lot longer with that secretary or that person at the front, you know, front line of defense screening calls. It'll make that person believe you and trust you
Thank
more.
Thank you, Danny. I've got two more questions if you still have a few minutes. Okay. What about those of us who are much older and completely changing careers? We do have decades of experience, but not directly relevant to a new career. We do not want to sound like know-it-alls, but life experience and maturity may be the only advantage an older person has.
Life experience is a huge plus, but don't dismiss what you've accomplished in your last job or several jobs. This is why storytelling is so critical. Looking back on your most recent position, think about the soft skills, the intangibles, the ethic, the drive. Think about what you did at that last job that demonstrates why you'd be a great hire at the next job, even if it's in a different industry. You want to show them, look, I'm battle-tested. I've done it all. I have years of experience. Not only do I have the years, but I deliver and I get results, and here's how. So I wouldn't just think of yourself as all I can sell myself on is my age or my, you know, decades of experience. That's huge. You can't exchange that or replace it. That's a tremendous selling point. But also share your stories. Over a career, you have so many memories and moments of success that you can be sharing more than a young person would have. So don't forget to rely on your experiences and use them to drive you ahead. Even if you're changing industries or changing career fields completely, tell a great story from the last job. And then as I show you in, let me go back to that cover letter. This part is so critical. This little paragraph where you introduce yourself, this is where you take that story and you relate it to this new company. And you say, you know, it may not be the same field, but it shows you who I am.
Okay, thank you. And the final question, do you recommend wet ink resume posts along with digital resume attachment? Do you recommend wet
Say that again,
ink
I'm sorry.
Resume post along with digital resume attachment? I think that's a hard copy in the mail along with an email attachment.
No, I just do what they ask me to do. If they ask for it in email, then it's going through email. If they ask for both, then do both. But I wouldn't do both just unprompted. I think, look, what you put in the email needs to be good enough that it will get you through to that next stage. Sending it twice is not going to increase your odds. It might actually annoy them because they're like, oh, what an overachiever. We asked for it once, they sent it twice.
Okay, thank you, Danny. Well, that was our last question for today. So thank you, everyone, for joining us from Alumni Career Services, and we hope we'll see you back in 3 weeks on April 22nd. Danny, thank you so much for sharing your expertise. This has been a wonderful presentation. If you can stay with us for just a moment, we will go ahead and turn off the recording and
Yep.
get ready to shut down.
Sounds great. Thank you, everybody. Go Hoos.